Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome to my favorite part of the afternoon. That is spending time with you, whether you are driving, are you in the car pickup line? Oh my goodness, I was not sad. I have to admit, I was not sad when those days of car pickup line was over. Are you working? I hear from people who are truckers who listen as they're driving across the country. Maybe you're working out. If you're working out, good for you. But thank you so much for tuning in. Listen, I promised you yesterday, I have a really great surprise guest, and I'm so excited about this today. Now, some of you who have been AFR listeners for a long time, all of a sudden there's going to be like this little record screech sound and you're going to say, oh my goodness, is that who I think it is? And yes, it is going to be who you think it is. Today, I am very blessed to have none other than Will and Miki Addison on the show. I know, I hear the cheering right now, like from all over the country saying, yay, we're so glad they're back. Now, for those of you who maybe are newer listeners to our show, Will and Miki hosted this hour on American Family Radio for 14 years before I started the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. And so you may be thinking, is it 2 o'clock Central Standard Time? Do I hear Will and Miki Addison on the radio? Yes, you do. So for those of you who are new, we are talking to married couple Will and Miki. Will is today focusing on homeschooling their 6 kids and stewarding well Straight Edge Ministries and Culture Proof. We're going to talk all about Culture Proof. On their podcast, the Addisons observe cultural trends. They explore the effects of those trends on the foundation of biblical morality. And together, they offer insight on culture and trends and current events that threaten the integrity of the Christian faith. And Miki is a conference speaker, a women's teacher, an author, a pro-family activist, and she keeps a close eye on politics, pop culture, and the church. And she is focused on equipping everyday Christians to effectively engage and transform culture. Her mission is calling Christians to make sound connections between cultural and political activism and biblical conviction. So Will and Miki, welcome back. We are just thrilled to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my goodness. We truly appreciate it.
This is incredible. I get to talk to our personal princess. I mean, we are just so thrilled to be on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We'll have to fill people in and let them know why you are our personal princess. Timmy made you our personal princess last year, and that has just been a running joke in our family.
One of the best days ever, like so incredibly precious. I was just wearing this long pink dress, y'all. That's all. I am, you know, a little bit extra in that way. And it was so absolutely precious. But you know what? It was so great to meet your kids, Will and Miki, because I remember that I talked to the youth that were there. There was a big group of youth and I talked to them about mental health and so engaged. Yeah. Such a great, I love engaging with young people today, especially young people who love Jesus, and they just are so bright, and it gives me optimism for the future of our country. But after that, I had this really bright woman, young woman approach me who just, you could tell, like her eyes were sparkly, and she knew what she was doing, and she came up and asked me the just most insightful question about mental health, because we were talking about being compassionate, and she was asking me, giving me some push and pull about where's the line, and that was your daughter. So you just, wow. I was like, it was your daughter. And she just asked me such great conversation. We had a great conversation, like a very just high level, like push and pull. It was fantastic. So well done. Wow. Well done, y'all.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much for sharing that. That is encouraging.
Yeah. It really was. She just asked such great questions because I could tell like she is going to be a voice of wisdom for her peers. She is already. I am absolutely sure of it. And we need that. Sure. Well, Will and Miki, for those people who maybe are thinking, what's going on? I feel like I'm missing something. This is a reunion and I want to know all the things. Tell us a little bit about your story and just how you came to be radio host and what God's doing in your life now.
Wow. So that's a long story. Probably have time for that. But I will say we work with AFR when we live in Lafayette, Louisiana. And so this was like 2007. And so they had station managers at that time. And so we worked at a local station there. And I worked there part-time. Miki had just had Mariah. And so she was kind of just at home. And I was like, man, she needs something to do. And so the station manager was in need. He was in need of a co-host for his morning show. And so I was like, man, I'm going to ask Miki. Now, she had never done radio or anything like that, but I just knew. I was like, man, I know she can do this. And so I came home and I said, hey, Danny needs a co-host. Would you be interested in doing that? And immediately she was like, no. He's not a morning person. You know, I'm not going to get up to do that. But over a course of time, she agreed. And then so she came on. And she did a great job, but then she stopped. She stopped, and then Danny had to get another host, and so all that didn't work out. But then I said, Miki, he needs a host again. Like, could you come in and just help him out? And she was like, no, I don't want to do it. But she eventually came, and so she did a great job once again. And this time, that was the general manager of AFR at the time, Marvin Sanders, was coming through Lafayette to go towards Texas. And he stopped at the station. He got on the radio with Miki and Danny. And apparently when he made his way back to Tupelo, he told people about this girl down there that we need to try to get up here, you know, to be on the radio. And so that's the short version of, you know, how we got here in Tupelo. And that started it all.
Well, and I know there are so many people rejoicing that started it all, because your show was just so well beloved. And now you're doing Culture Proof. Tell us about that. I would love to hear about what God is doing in your ministry right now. Everybody wants to catch up and find all the details. Or maybe, you know, there's people who are thinking, oh, yeah, I didn't make that connection. So help them make that connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Culture Proof is the extension of what we began to do on the air, really just to help families and to help followers of Christ make a connection between what we see happening in the culture and a biblical response to it. So often, and Jessica, you know this because of the work that you do, people will just kind of look at things in a vacuum. You know, you kind of look at this one issue, you look at this one topic, and then you just kind of respond to that. But I think what's important is that we have to make biblical connections to all of the things that are happening. So what we try to do is say, this is happening in the culture, yes, but there's a spiritual underpinning. There's a force that we can't see that is driving what we can see. And so that's our job. That's what we feel called to do. We really, and I would say from the beginning, we have seen ourselves as missionaries to our country. We love our country. We believe that God in his sovereignty placed this here, Acts 17:26. We believe that there's a divine purpose for where we live and even the time we live in. And so we feel burdened almost, and not in a bad way, but in a good way, to call Christians to hold the line, to say, you know, everybody talks about living your authentic life and bringing your authentic self to the public square. And what we're simply doing is saying that Christians should do that everywhere we are. Live authentically. That means tell the truth, even when it's uncomfortable and it might cost you something. And don't be afraid to make those connections between what is spiritually underpinning those natural phenomena that we observe.
You know, I think one of the reasons that people gravitate to your ministry is just because of the strength of your voice. I think in this day and age, there's so much fear and uncertainty, and there's anxiety about cancel culture. And there's just something really compelling and attractive about voices that say, hey, we are putting ourselves, anchoring ourselves on the foundation of God's word, and we have a foundation that will not be shaken. And because of that, we can have hope, we can have strength, we can speak truth. And I think that is something that is really needed. So tell me about how that's impacting your parenting journey, because you're walking this out along with us. You have six kids. I mean, it's not like you don't have a stake in this. So what is that like? Yeah. How do you translate what's happening at home to what's happening in your ministry?
Well, let me just say one thing is, because we are currently parenting six children, it's not something that we just are talking about but not having to do ourselves. And so it's not easy. You know, we have to constantly stay before the Lord, you know, asking him for wisdom. And we're in the trenches with everybody else, you know. And so the same issues that other parents are having, we are having to navigate. But the thing is, we understand that the mandate has been given to us by God to disciple our children. The reason that we homeschool our children primarily is for discipleship purposes. We want them to be smart and educated. To go along with it. But, man, we want the lion's share of the time so that we can disciple our children, because we understand that this culture is increasingly wicked, and they're going to be thrust out into this culture, and we need them to be able to navigate as they grow.
What do you think, Mickey? How does that impact you as a mom? Yeah.
100%. We are in the trenches, and that means that we are well aware that we are growing the people who will live in this world and live in this country specifically, and they will be a part of making laws. They will be a part of producing content. They will be a part of society. And so we recognize, and I jokingly say this all the time to people, and they say, oh my goodness, you have six kids, and they make jokes about the size of our family. I usually retort, you're welcome, because I'm helping to make America great. we are training them in righteousness, and we are teaching them to think critically. You know, it is not uncommon for us to actively show our kids things that are happening in the culture. Even as you have Christians who are deconstructing, we will show these videos to our kids, and we will have a robust conversation around our dinner table talking about the problems with the presentation. Okay, so how is this defying the holiness of God, or how is this an affront to the morality that God has presented to us in Scripture? Do you guys agree with this? If you do, why? If you don't, why? What biblical precepts can you bring in? And I say that because that is what we are actively doing. And Jessica, it is hard work. It is not easy. It would be so much easier to say, you know, just don't do that, guys. That's foolishness. But we've got to provide a reason for the hope that lies within us. This is 1 Peter 3:15. We've got to be able to give them a defense so that they are ready to answer the question, why? Why do you guys live that way? Why do you believe what you believe about gender and human sexuality? Why? And the Bible teaches us that when we live in such a way so as to provoke that question, we've got to be ready to show up with an answer. And that's what we're doing daily with our kids.
I love it. And I'm doing the same thing. And I really just want to live that out transparently before our listeners today, that those are exactly the kinds of conversations that I'm having in my house. We talk about that around the dinner table. And I think for some families who think we don't talk like that, you know, it may feel like that would be awkward. That's an awkward jump to make. Like, how do you just have that? And I remember one time, Will and Mickey, where I was walking with my daughters, we were out walking in the neighborhood, and we were having a pretty intense discussion about like a pretty serious topic, and asking just exactly those kinds of questions. What do you believe about this? Why do you believe it? How does that compare to what God has said in his word? And how does that compare to what you see being lived out among your peers? And it was funny because we would just walk by somebody that was walking their dog, and they kind of looked at us and said, whoa, that's intense conversation. And we thought, oh, wait, you don't talk like this when you're just out walking your dog? You're not trying to solve world peace? Like, Are we abnormal? Like, is this not normal? But I think that's exactly the kind. Go ahead, Mickey.
No, I was going to say, it's so interesting that you make that point. I know we're getting ready to go to break here, but I would just say that we need to make that normal. So I'll just say that. Yeah.
Amen. We absolutely need to make that normal because our kids have plenty of voices that are trying to speak into them and that are trying to influence their worldview. And we've got to be intentional about that. And so when we come back, I want to know more about what you think are the biggest challenges facing parents today and your unique perspectives as kids needing a mom and a dad. And we just have so much more to talk about. Honestly, I could just give you the microphone and say, okay, take the show, tell us all the things, and maybe that's what we'll do, but we'll see you. Don't go away. We'll be back with more with Will and Miki Addison on the other side of this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Things are getting real. Jesus, take the wheel. Only way I'm getting to the other side. Days are getting dark, life's a little hard. Blinded, but I'm trying not to lose sight. I don't got this, I know you got this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'll believe it before I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're gonna see me through it. If anybody can do it. God, I know in the trial, in the pain, fire, in the rain, you're gonna see me through it. You're gonna see me through it. If anybody can, you can do it. And whenever my heart runs away, you say that you're gonna see me.
Welcome back, friends, to my favorite part of the afternoon, and today is a special day. Listen, do not adjust your radio dial. You have not inadvertently gotten into a time machine and warped back to a year ago. We have Will and Miki Addison on the show today. So for those of you who may be newer listeners, Will and Miki hosted this very hour on American Family Radio before I did, and let me tell you, I had some shoes to fill. This was intimidating because they are so beloved and you can just listen to them for 2 or 3 minutes and you will know why. Will and Miki, so glad to have you back. This is just a fun collab and I'm so grateful that you're here.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for having us, Jessica. Thank you so much.
Well, I want to know, for maybe those who are newer, I want to know how you met. So on your first date, did you say, hey, let's have 6 kids and let's start a ministry and homeschool them all? Like, is that how that went down or was it a little different?
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was a lot different.
We actually, here's a fun fact. We actually didn't like each other like that when we first met each other.
Really?
And Will the Great can fill in with his incredibly romantic story of how he said, oh, I could never be married to someone like that. So you can...
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah.
I did.
So Miki and I served in the same campus ministry. I was an intern training to be a campus missionary, and she was a student at the time when I got there. And so we would have these different events, banquets and things like that. And Miki, she did a lot in that ministry. She led worship, you know, led Bible studies and things like that. So there was a particular evening we were having a banquet, and the director apparently asked Miki if she could sing a song, and it was like last minute. She wasn't prepared to sing. And I was just looking at the conversation. I couldn't hear what they were saying, so I was just looking. And I just saw her kind of storm off, and I was like, and I said to myself, I could never marry somebody like that.
That's and it's hilarious. Crazy
because, yes, that exact person is who God had for me. So that's a story that she brought out. And you know, our God really showed me once we became friends and had interest in each other that he was putting us together for purpose. That God really revealed that to me. And so I was really sure that she was supposed to be my wife. And I knew it was because of things that we couldn't do apart. We had to do it together, and that God was setting those things up. I didn't know what, but looking now and looking back, I see, wow, God, you really did have a plan, you know, that you placed me with her for a purpose. And so we were in campus ministry together. That's where I met her. And she studied to be a campus missionary as well. And God, you know, just opened her eyes for her to see, you know, me and be like, yeah, he's great. You know, he's handsome. Like, yeah, I want to be with him. No, that's not it at all. But go ahead, Mika.
No, that is
your side.
Well, the thing that's interesting is that as I was in school, I had no plans to be a campus missionary. You know, my goal was to cash in my degree and to basically live the American dream. And whatever it is that I, you know, give myself to it fully. And so as I'm going through school, you know, I studied public relations and communications. And so I thought, well, you know, that's going to be my field. I really enjoy that. And but the Lord interrupted my goals and my plans to invite me to be a part of his plan for me. And so I responded by going into this internship and studying to be a campus missionary to secular universities. And I'm going through the internship. And really, honestly, my thoughts are that I am content. I love ministry to women. I love that. I love facilitating Bible studies. And I love studying God's word. And so that like consumed a lot of my time. And in some ways, I kind of just thought, well, you know, I'm probably not going to be married. Like I, you know, 23, 24. And I was content with that. But then the internship got really difficult. And I remember in my second semester of the internship, because I thought it would be a breeze. I was a student. I had kind of like, you know, grown up my collegiate years in this ministry, but it was really intense. It was next level. And I remember talking to Will the Great, and he pastored me in a moment where he told me the truth, even about my perspective, like that it was a little bit skewed. And even he was willing to point out that there were some issues in my own character that the Lord was working on and that I shouldn't run from those. And then he recommended a book, and he got the book and dog-eared the page and said, I think you need to read this chapter because I think there's some issues that the Lord really wants to work on in your life. And I have to say, that's the moment that the airbrush happened. Like, that's the moment that I saw a man who loved the Lord and that I was willing to follow. I saw leadership. I saw his willingness to tell me something that was difficult, that I don't think was easy. Because when you're talking to your friend and you're just lamenting, you kind of want your friend to just agree with you. And you want your friend to see your perspective, right? But a real leader tells you hard things. And I saw that in that moment. And I guess the rest of that kind of becomes a part of our history. We went to our director. And I'm kind of, you know, fast-forwarding this just a little bit. And I remember saying to him, I like Will Addison. Like, I like him. And he said, well, yeah, Will's great. And I said, no, like, I like him.
I like him, you know.
and the director said, okay, well, let's walk through this, of course. And he goes, and I'm officiating the wedding, right? And he did, actually, he did. And so it was just a few months that we were married. And that's part of the beauty of what it is to live life among believers, in a community of believers. There wasn't this need for like, well, I don't know his character. I don't know who he is. I had observed him for years. And so I knew him as my friend. But when, I guess in the Lord's timing that we were to be married, he just changed my affection for him, that I saw him differently. And I'm so glad that he did, because here we are 20 years later in December and 6 kids, 17 down to 3. It's been an incredible journey of purpose for advancing the Lord's kingdom. and making much of who Jesus is. And we've had the blessed opportunity, as you've mentioned several times, Jessica, to do that on air and to encourage families. I mean, you know, this is real life. There's no glitz or glamour when the rubber meets the road. When you're talking about parenting and you're talking about marriage, sometimes there's confusion and sometimes you misunderstand one another. But one thing you constantly come back to and always agree on is that Jesus is worthy. So because he is worthy, we work through those issues, we pray together, we apply God's word to our circumstances, and we see him exalted. And that's a good thing.
That is a great thing. And, you know, I say what God has put together, let no one tear asunder, right? I'm kind of old school like
Amen.
That. But I look at that with me and my husband, and I can see that the Lord put us together. And you know, he knew what we needed before we even needed it. I think, you know, when I met my husband, he was a relatively new Christian, and he had such a heart fire. I had the head knowledge, but he had the heart fire. And one day, you know, he would just ask me all these questions all the time. And one day he said, do you really believe what you're telling me, these answers? And I said, well, yes, of course I believe that. And he said, then why are you saying it like that? Like you don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Like it's not important. Like it hasn't changed your life. And I can see so many ways in that, you know, his parents have just been so great to me. And I, you know, am unfortunately estranged from my parents, but God gave me parents and gave me the ability to be adopted and have that family, and which was so great. And his family all came to know the Lord. And then I see that even going down as parents now, God has equipped each of us very differently. Now, my husband, I have shared with my listeners before, you know, I have the privilege and the blessing of being married to a rocket scientist. He's an engineer. But what he says, who thinks it's funny that people think I'm smart, you know, when he is a rocket scientist. But here's the funny thing. He will tell our kids, you know, I am going to hurt your feelings. It is inevitable. I'm an engineer. Mm. All I care about is numbers and analytics. So if you have feelings, that's your mom's department. And then when that kind of runs away, you know, then they'll come back with me. But, you know, we're facing challenges as parents. And Will, one of the things that we were just talking about during the break, one of the biggest challenges facing parents today is this issue of technology, devices, distraction, and the influence that it is. So how are you seeing that as a dad?
Yeah, that's something that you really have to stay on top of, you know, because there's so many voices that's trying to get into our children's head, you know, that, and they have more voices than I had as a child, you know. And mm-hmm. so when it comes down to technology, technology is a good thing. But, man, if you don't watch it, if you don't have some guardrails up, it can be very, very destructive. And so from time to time, one thing we realize we have to do is pull back and shut some things down, because it can take over if you let it. And so even on YouTube, they're called influencers, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you start to see maybe some patterns in your child, you know, and you're like, where did that come from? Where it may be an influencer that they've been watching, you know. So you have to kind of know these things. You have to know what they're watching. You have to limit the time, because even with that, not limiting the time, it does something to their brains, you know. Like, we want them to be able to learn, to be able to sit still for a good amount of time, you know. We want them to be able to sit and read the Bible and sit and have conversations and not always go towards a device. So we navigate that at home, like presently. Like, that's something that we have had to look at, have had to pull back on, because if not, you're setting your children up for failure. And the biggest thing is that you have to do it for yourself as well. They have to be able to see that you're limiting your time and that you're trying to do it as well, and that there are other things that are more important than a device. You know, they have to see that and believe that as well.
Well, how do you see this as a mom, Mickey?
100%.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so prone to jump in. Please forgive me. Okay.
No need to apologize. You just take over. I'm giving you the microphone, Mickey. Go for it. Preach.
Okay, just 2 minutes. Okay, here we go. I agree 100%, because one of the things that we're battling through the use of the devices that I think we often overlook is something that Will the Great touched on, and that is the influence. We often are battling things in our homes, and we wonder where it came from. We're like, okay, Did this happen at my local youth group? Did this happen in like a Sunday school class or something like that? And, you know, I would say 8 to 9 times out of 10, what we're actually battling is an influencer who's somewhere in California or Utah that we've never met, never laid eyes on, that our kids are consuming their content and they're developing personality traits around what they watch the vast majority of the time. And I think it's so important for parents to recognize and even appreciate that God on purpose intended for you to be your child's number one influence. That is God's design. He instituted the family and he directed the family and he laid the family as the foundation of society. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason that both mom and dad are so important. I'm laughing at what you just said, Jessica, about your husband. Your kids are going to benefit from having that analytical aspect to their development that, hey, listen, facts don't care about your feelings. If your kids can learn that, if they can learn that at home, they will be better employees. They will be better business owners. They will be better politicians. But we're missing that at home, and we're doing that, or we miss it because we want to be distracted ourselves. I hate to say that. Like, we are looking for something often as parents to sort of fill our day. And what it actually keeps us away from is the job and the role that we have as parents, and that's to show up and be involved in our kids' lives. It takes a lot of extra work, and I can't stress that enough. Recently we're talking about on our podcast, we're talking about how government schools have really sort of removed the know-how and even the desire for parents to parent their children. I was reading an article from The Atlantic that talked about how during the pandemic, parents actually needed antidepressants because their kids were home. They didn't know how to handle them. They didn't know how to be parents. And that really saddened me, Jessica. I thought, wow, we don't know how to be parents? I mean, come on, what is that saying? And of course, the solution that came from this particular piece was that kids need to be in school longer. They need more days. They need to start earlier. They need to go longer. They need to go around the year, our year-round school, because parents are too burdened by their kids. And I thought, wow, if this is the future of our country, I'm not really sure that we're headed in the right direction.
Yes, I've heard the Surgeon General issue that warning yesterday about parental stress and anxiety. And you know what I say, Will and Miki, is that parenting is actually pretty easy. Parenting well is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life. And it takes sacrifice. I mean, it really does. It takes hard work. And I think that when we look at the challenges that are facing our kids, especially with Will, what you're talking about, the influence that's coming in through social media, we don't want to deal with it because we don't understand it. I mean, we look at like snap streaks and all this language that we don't know and this technology that we can't use. And we think, okay, that's just this generation. I'm just going to be uneasy and call a truce with it and just hope everything turns out for the best. That's not a sustainable strategy. So when we come back, I really want to keep talking about this and how parents, you said it best, Miki, parents are designed to be the number one influence in their kids' lives. And a lot of parents don't believe that. We'll talk about that and more with Will and Miki Addison when we come back on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Looking out my window, feeling a crescendo, sunset on a quiet sea. Sitting with the ones that I'll forever love, we're waiting on a flash of green. And even when the nights got cold, you have always held me close. You're the only rock that I could ever stand on, you're the only one for me. The sun goes up, the sun comes down, this whole world keeps spinning round. I'm here traveling down this long and winding road. Seasons come and seasons go, they take me high, they leave me low, but I'm still standing on the only rock I know. You're my cornerstone.
Welcome back, friends. That song is Cornerstone by Toby Mac, and it features Zach Williams, and that's exactly what we are talking about today. Do not adjust your radio dial. Do not do a double take. Yes, we have Will and Miki Addison on the show today. So grateful to have them. If you want to find out what they're doing today and where you can connect with them, you can go to cultureproof.net. That's cultureproof.net, and you can see what they're doing, listen to their podcast, be connected, and hear all of the things. But Will and Miki, I just want to dive back in because we are in the middle of a really good conversation about parenting and about fighting against those influences that are seeking to capture the hearts of our kids. And both of you just had some really good insight about how hard it is. And we were talking, I was just talking about the Surgeon General's advisement yesterday that parents are anxious, overwhelmed. Miki, you said it during the pandemic. And what I see from my perspective as a nurse practitioner is that we are now, instead of soothing our kids ourselves, instead of hugging them and holding them and walking them through situations, we have this new term called digital soothing, where we, when they're upset, when they are impatient, when they have any sort of uncomfortable emotion, we put a screen in front of their face and it does the job that we're doing. And we have electronic babysitters, and we're doing this. And I think that at the heart of it, there are so many parents out there, Will and Miki, who really feel like maybe I'm not doing a good job. And they feel like they're looking at their kids' behavior as a measurement of their parenting instead of looking at the plumb line of God's word and what God has called them to invest. And so I would love for just whichever of you wants to take it from there and just let's pursue this a little bit further. What are you seeing and how are you fighting against that in your family?
Well, let me just say this. Encouragement for parents, and this is something that I found too, that we live in, I would call the age of, or the era of the expert. So there's a feeling that, well, I can't parent well, or I can't teach my kids. The experts do this. And man, God has given you everything that you need to disciple, to teach, to raise your children. And so you don't have to look outside to be able to disciple your kids. And I think that's a big hang up that parents have. Well, you know, I can't really teach them the word. I must just send them to youth group. Well, God has given you that mandate to do it. And so I just want to start by encouraging parents that, you know, God has made you the way that he has made you to be able to disciple your children. And it's crazy because a lot of our kids, we see things in them that we know that we saw in us. And so God has equipped us to be able to deal with those things. And so I think a lot of times it's easier to put them in front of a screen and just to say, you know, let that babysit them. It's easier to do that than to actively disciple. And that's the mandate. That's what God has called us to do. And so when we try to outsource that, that's when we have the influencers come in because they're looking to come in. And, you know, if there's that vacuum there, we leave it wide open that someone else can be the prevailing voice in their lives.
I agree with that.
It's interesting.
Yeah, go ahead, Miki.
I was just going to say, it's interesting that the influencers want almost exactly the opposite that some parents want today. Like the influencers want your kid to be engaged and locked in for as many hours as possible. Like, and you look at the social media platforms, they are designed to keep our kids engaged for as many hours as possible, while we as parents are saying, okay, go ahead, because then it gives us time to do the other things. And I think if we could see, just as Lily Gray just said, if we could see that the Lord, by the power of His Spirit, makes us sufficient, He makes us enough for our kids, then we could relieve ourselves of the stress or the pressure that would suggest to us, you know, if I could just do that, or if I just had that ability, then I would be enough. But because of Jesus, and we're enough, like who we are and what God has given us, He expects us to give that to our children. You know, I think about Deuteronomy 6, where we're supposed to love the Lord God with all that we are, with every single fiber of our being. We're supposed to love the Lord. And you think about, as you continue on in this mandate, that the Lord instructed His people that they were to observe all of His statutes, all of His commands, and there was going to be a result of that. And the result was going to be that in the day that your son says, what's the meaning of all of these statutes? In other words, think about this in a modern context. You are going to live so differently in the world. You're going to be doing things that cultures around you are not doing. You're going to live in a way that cultures around you are not living. And then the Bible very clearly says that in the day when your son says, what's the meaning? Why do you have these testimonies? And why do you observe these statutes? And why are there these judgments? Then you're supposed to tell them that you were once slaves in Egypt, but God brought you out. And when I think about that, Jessica, and I think about our kids today, what our kids are looking for is they're looking for us as parents to live counterculturally. They are looking for us to do something different than what the culture around us is doing, so that they then say, wait a minute, why are you doing that? Why don't you use that language? Why don't you believe that ideology? Why don't we go there? Why don't we listen to these things? Why didn't you read that book? It was a bestseller. And then we have the opportunity to say, well, you know what? Once I was a slave to sin, but Jesus set me free. And so now I want to live for His glory. I want to do those things that are not culturally normative, because it is because of Jesus that I have a new culture. It is a culture of righteousness. It's a culture where Christ rules and reigns. And so the point that I'm making is that the changes we want to see in our children have to be present in us. We have to model what it is to be a robust follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, it will provoke questions in our children, which ultimately lead to a presentation of the gospel.
That is such a freeing perspective. And if I could somehow convey that to everyone that is listening, because I think so many parents, they feel entrapped and even enslaved by all of the should do's and the shouldn't do's. Like, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? This expert says, do this, have this many, you know, screen time, let them have social media at this age. But this expert says this. And so what do I do? What we have to realize is that these influencers who are trying to control our kids, they really just want to exploit them financially. They really, their end game is to influence their purchasing patterns. Where are they, what causes are they going to put their money toward? What products are they going to buy? What communities are they going to invest in? That is all that they care about. And so often I feel like as parents, we buy into that lie where we think, oh, I have to do this and do this and do this and limit this and, you know, cut this out and make sure they don't have a phone. They don't have access to social media. They're not around kids who are going to be a bad influence. But really, it's the opposite that's true. We have to provide a compelling alternative. And what you have both just described is exactly that. Be authentic as parents yourselves. And then, you know, just be that number one influence. Provide a compelling alternative as influence. But it's so hard to do. So I want to know, Will and Miki, what are habits that you adopt as a family to nurture that healthy family culture, to nurture that biblical view of parenting while shaping your family's worldview and making them culture-proof?
Go ahead, Miki.
I love that question. Thank you so much. Because, you know, when I think about it, I think, man, we have to be so intentional. So practically speaking, we talk so much. Like there are eight of us, right? And so we make it a habit to talk. Like if there are issues happening in our family, even interpersonal communication, like communication among siblings, we want to model for them how to work the Bible. So sometimes in the context of family, you will have a sibling come to you and say, hey, you know, so-and-so said this and did this, and I really thought that was rude. And so what we want to say is, hey, did you go to that sibling first before coming to me? Well, no, because that sibling's not reasonable. But, you know, the Bible says that you should go to your brother. If your brother offends you, show him his fault, then go again. Then if he can't be won over, then you bring someone. So I want you to work that and then come back and check in and let me know how it went. That's Bible. So what we're saying is we really believe that God's word is reliable. So the first thing I would say is, number one, we communicate around the authority of Scripture a lot. When we're having conversations, if there's pushback, well, I disagree with that. What's your biblical basis? Tell me, what biblical support do you have to disagree with what I just said? And let's have a conversation around that. We're trying to train them to think biblically, which will allow them to think critically of a culture that is in rebellion against God. We pray together. We study God's word together. There are times where there's just enough time to read one passage and have a discussion about just that passage. Tell me something that you observe, either about the character of God or the nature of man and our need for a Savior. Tell me something that God is showing you about himself in this passage. And when you can train kids to see that in Scripture, they recognize that the Bible is not relegated to one day a week. It's not something you take out on Sunday morning. It's how you live your life. And I love what you said, Jessica, that we should never have it as our aim to raise our kids to live in sort of this, you know, greenhouse or this bubble or something, mm-hmm. but that we train them to live in this world, because that is the world that they are growing up in. So rather than trying to present this, you know, sanitized, cleaned up, you know, environment for them, what we want to do is we want to control this environment for a season while we ready them to live in the larger culture. And you do that by introducing them slowly to these conversations. You do that by going into areas where your kids are surrounded by people who don't think and act the way they think and act. How are they going to relate to them? Because keep in mind, at the end of the day, we don't want our kids to have a disdain for humanity. We want them to win people to Jesus. And you can't do that if you're disgusted by people.
Amen and amen. This is all so true, because, you know, that this whole gatekeeper mentality of parenting, of protecting them from every bad thing that could ever come their way, that was thrown out with the advent of the internet, because there are screens everywhere. And even if your kids don't have screens, like, you know, unless they're living in a cave somewhere where someone is bringing them food, you know, they are exposed to this. And so I think this is one of the most radical things about parenting, is that we need to focus more on what we need to do rather than what we need to eliminate or don't do or make sure that those rules are in place. And it's all through those relationships. And, you know, Will, I think that there are a lot of dads out there who are probably feeling discouraged, feeling like maybe it's even too late. You know, how do you lead your family well? Can you just give a word of encouragement to dads who really want to do it and feel like, I don't know, am I failing or can I do this?
Right. Yeah. One thing, man, stay prayerful, be led by the Holy Spirit as you lead your family. You know, one thing that God had me to really look at was Daniel and his companions and how they were raised to be ready to go into Babylon. We don't hear a lot about Daniel's parents or his friends, their parents, but we know that they did something to get them ready for when they were to go into Babylon, they would not be indoctrinated. And so as a father, it's primarily our role to make sure discipleship is happening in the home, and God has built you for this. You know, men, we like to be proud of our accomplishments or, you know, our careers and things like that. But what if we were proud of our families and how we're discipling our children and how we're loving our wives? And if that was a sense of like, man, I'm really doing this for God, you know, and I think we have to recalibrate our minds to think in that way and truly be prayerful and led by the Spirit, because he's giving you everything that you need for life and godliness, and raising your children, discipling them well, even if you've messed up in the past, you know, go and repent
and then come back and say, Lord, help me to do this.
I think it's so encouraging to hear a dad say that and have that perspective because, you know, honestly, for moms, I think sometimes it's easier for us to talk about our struggles and our feelings. And I don't know, when I'm on the baseball field, I don't hear dads sitting around having that same kind of conversation, and it can be difficult. Well, Will and Miki, I know that this will not be our last conversation, but where can people find you? Remind them how they can connect.
Yes, definitely. Go to cultureproof.net. That's our website, and you can find everything pertaining to what we do right there.
Well, I hope that our listeners have enjoyed this little throwback Thursday that we have had. It has been so fun for me. I just thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity to be on your show when you hosted it. And this has just been such a blessing. And to my listeners, to our listeners today, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you and give you peace. And listen, I'll see you right back here next time, where we will keep on finding hope for healthy families. I believe that God can do it, and I'll see you then, and we'll talk more.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.